Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. A new study from the RAND Corporation finds that more than a million Americans are now caring for veterans of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. State Representative Greer Martin has long pushed for the state to do more to help those who served in our military. Martin joins us now to talk about it and to weigh in on the debate about investing more in education. Well, Representative Martin, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris. Great to be here.
Let's talk about how we're doing taking care of our veterans. First of all, the federal level, the president has a budget that does include $1 billion for Veteran Job Corps, which the president's been talking about a long time. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think jobs for veterans are the keys that unlock solutions to so many other problems that veterans are facing. I think it's worth noting that veterans are coming back from the wars well-prepared to compete in the job market. They've got demonstrated motivation, demonstrated confidence in challenging environments and proven that they can succeed there. But at the same time, it's a tough job market for all Americans. And the transition from military life to civilian life in peacetime or wartime can be difficult, but particularly with some of the things and that veterans have faced, both physical and mental injuries that they suffered, can make it difficult to transition into the civilian workforce. And so without a doubt, it's appropriate to have some help both at the federal and the state level.
The unemployment rate among veterans, especially 18 to 25, 18 to 30, is higher than the national average, or is that's a demographic that's higher, I guess. So it seems like it adds another hurdle for them to overcome in this economy.
It certainly is. It's a tough time for anyone in that age group to be competing in the job market. It's also difficult when your resume, if you're an infantryman, looks, even though you've demonstrated motivation, demonstrated the ability to create and implement plans and so many other things that employers are looking for, that's been an arena of destruction, and it can be a little bit difficult to convince an employer that those abstract skills will translate very well into the workforce. And so we need to do some things that make that transition easier.
What can we do on a state level?
Yeah, sure thing. We've done a lot at the state level, and there's some good work going on and more things to be done. One of the things that we've done in the past is to require our state occupational licensing boards, the folks that license plumbers, electricians, beauticians. I never knew how many licensing boards our state had until I got involved in this arena, is to require them to come up with a plan to translate skills acquired in the military into relevant experience for the purposes of acquiring that job license in North Carolina. Part of that legislation, incidentally, also makes it easier for military spouses who are, say, licensed when their spouse is stationed at Fort Hood, Texas. The spouse is, say, a licensed electrician in Texas, to transfer that electrician's license from Texas almost immediately to North Carolina. It wasn't perfect legislation that we got passed recently, and so I'm really glad that the General Assembly's taken another look at how we can beef that up. And there's a committee meeting in the interim right now that I hope will come forward in the short session with some good recommendations on beefing up that legislation.
And finally, in the veterans issues, what about health care? You know, we hear so many stories of men and women coming back with injuries that maybe 25 years ago would have been fatal. Now, thank goodness, their lives are saved, but they're still struggling with healthcare needs. Are we doing enough to help them?
I don't think that we will ever be able to do enough to compensate someone for some of the grievous physical and mental injuries that they suffered as a result of their service to us while deployed at war. That said, what do we need to be doing? Without a doubt, the Veterans Administration at the federal level has really beefed up their ability to deal with those things. I think the VA is making great strides in reducing their claims backlogs. A lot more work to be done there. They'll never completely satisfy everyone, but I'm really pleased with the progress they've made so far. At the state level also, I think the more we can do to provide health care for all our citizens, it really fills in any sort of cracks that a veteran might potentially fall through.
Let's move to education. There's a lot of talk about teacher pay in North Carolina. It takes 16 years for a teacher to make $40,000. Governor McCrory has proposed raising the pay of starting teachers, and has yet to say what he wants to do for veteran teachers. Where do you think we are on teacher pay, and what should we do this summer?
Yeah, right now, I think where we are on teacher pay is that the majority party wants to do the bare minimum they can do and still get themselves reelected. And you see the first proposal come out of that is, well, let's give a pay increase just to some of the brand new entering teachers. Makes some sense. It'll help us continue to recruit good teachers into the profession. But in the end, that's really, they're just trying to do something on the cheap that allows them to put on their mail campaign pieces that they did a teacher pay increase. But in the end, the teachers that have been slogging away in the trenches for decades that have acquired skills that we need to retain in the profession get nothing. I think you're starting to see that the public understands the bait and switch that the majority party is trying to do, and the Republicans are now realizing that the public is onto them, and so they're scrambling to find what that next cheapest solution is. What else is the minimum amount that they can add on to pay for that and still legitimately say on their campaign pieces that they gave a teacher pay increase? In the end, nothing should be acceptable to the people of North Carolina that's anything less than an across-the-board pay increase, and also a comprehensive long-term plan that gets North Carolina teacher pay to the national average and beyond.
It's interesting. Former Governor Hunt has been talking a lot about raising our pay to the national average, as was done when he was governor the last time, or in the mid-90s. And he said it recently at a conference I attended, and he wants to do it in 4 to 5 years. The governor, our current governor, refuses to endorse that idea. I wonder why.
I think it, again, goes, there's a sense that amongst the Republican Party that they don't want to pay for quality public education. So when you have the governor's education advisor saying, well, we'll try to do more for a teacher pay increase if the state's financial picture allows, it's a nice talking point. It says we only can afford to pay teachers what we can afford to pay. Well, we found it affordable to give the highest income bracket of North Carolinians a tax break. If that's affordable, then an across-the-board teacher pay increase should be affordable also.
And finally, on this topic, talking to teachers, I guess the pay is certainly one of the things they talk about. But the other thing is they now have, a lot of them have larger classes. They don't have teacher assistants. The kids don't have textbooks. They don't have supply budgets. How much longer can we continue to make these sort of cuts in public schools and do the things that allow our students to learn?
I am very concerned that we're approaching a breaking point beyond which it will take decades to repair the damage that will be done if experienced teachers leave the profession in droves. Now, as I've been out talking to the schools, and I'm going to talk to a school today, I do hear frustration from the teachers at a level I've never heard before. The good news is that that's starting to manifest itself towards action. Teachers are finally realizing that while they've been absolutely fulfilling their responsibility to their students in the classroom, then they need to advocate for the children outside the classroom in the political realm, and they're doing that. So the frustration has taken a positive direction, but I'm very concerned that we're going to continue to see it taking the negative direction of great teachers leaving the profession.
And one quick thing I would ask you before you go. You've long been a person involved in opening up government and having more transparent government and government reforms. One of the things I know Common Cause and others are working on is redistricting reform. We're in an election year now, and I think a lot of people are always surprised in North Carolina when they find out who's running to represent them, and there's only one person.
That's right. That's right. And I am a symptom of that problem. For the first time in my political career, I am running unopposed, have no primary or general election opponent. And that is, while it's great for my quality of life, it is absolutely terrible for our democratic system. I talk to a lot of groups, partisan groups, and also talk to nonpartisan groups made up of Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, unaffiliateds. And when I tell them whatever they think the biggest problem with government is, odds are that it can be eased if we could implement redistricting reform in North Carolina. The gridlock in Washington would absolutely be mitigated if we could get an independent redistricting commission in North Carolina. The House has passed it. How about you folks, Democrats and Republicans over in the Senate?
Well, let's hope they're listening and finally do. Representative Martin, thanks for all you're doing in Raleigh, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure.
Up next, what taxpayer money is funding in private school voucher schemes across the country? Stay with us.